Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome, America. This is the Big Show, Kitchen Politics 123. We're at season 6, episode 34, Open Mic Talk. All news from the past week and what we look forward to in the upcoming week, the latest in American politics and world news events. Great to have you here. You can call in at 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. We're glad to have everybody. And don't speak over the course when you call in, because either we're making a point or other callers are on the line. And, you know, we don't want to cause confusion and everything. So take turns when speaking, you know, be respectful and everything will be okay. We're the Defenders of Democracy, Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. We're on every Sunday, Monday, and Thursdays. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. So let's get cooking. We'll have a big show tonight. Lots of things to talk about. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Lori Picka from Michigan. And David is right, there's a lot going on, so we need to get to it.
Yes, indeed. As I say, we thank you for sharing across social media, all social media, and we're getting things, you know, all ducks in a row, because we're going to be on YouTube, Facebook TV, and a lot more social media sites, so we can get a name out there. And we thank you for patronizing us and by going to our website, www.kitchenpolitics123.com, and we're going to have great merchandise up for sale there as well. We're just getting all the ducks in a row, and we'll have recipes coming up, new recipes that you can try at home. We have a family gathering, you know, we'll have great recipes that's going up, and we'll also have new blog articles coming out. I promise you, by the end of the week, we'll have it up and running. So that was the Marcel's Blue Moon, 1962. That was some great music back in the 60s, I must tell you. You know, I don't know what happened to music these days, but, you know, that was a classic song. I had to play it tonight. Okay, so Donald Trump being up to his usual bully self and, you know, not knowing what he's talking about. And, you know, the usual, you know, crap Republicans pushing from Lauren Boebert to Marjorie Taylor Greene. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, on the 300 copies of her book sold. Now, isn't that atrocious? You know, I wouldn't even buy it if it were in a dollar store. That's how bad that book is,
yeah,
from what I hear. I read some of the reviews, and it was just utter crap and utter nonsense. So I hope nobody buys the book. Yes, ma'am. So where should we start?
Let's start with, of course, Biden won South Carolina, the Democratic primary, 6% of the vote. A landslide victory in South Carolina's Democratic primary, capturing 96% of the votes. These results signal that the Democratic voters have no interest in backing a primary challenger to the incumbent president. Biden's massive win affects fresh momentum into his reelection campaign, which has not yet had the chance to notch a blowout victory. And the other two that were running, that are also running, are House of Rep. Dean Phillips. He's a Democrat from Minnesota, and the
North Carolina, actually.
Pardon?
Dean Phillips is from North Carolina.
I don't know. Then this says something wrong. It says Minnesota.
My bad. Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
my bad.
And the other lady that is running, she's a self-help author and a 2020 Democratic candidate, Marianne Williamson. You know, remember her from, 2020, and she got 2% of the ballot. So I really don't understand why as far as Dean Phillips goes, if I have to tell you who he is, I truly have no idea. I've never really, heard about him until now. And, of course, Marianne Williamson, the reason I've heard of her is because of 2020 when she was that candidate. So I'm not really sure. And maybe they're going to drop out after this. I don't think they're going to do.
Yeah,
so.
Dean Phillips is a congressman from Congressional District 3 in Minnesota. It encompasses the suburbs of Hennepin and Anoka counties in the west and south and north of Minneapolis, the districts in which are most suburban in character, including a few farming communities as far western edge of the state of Minnesota. So it's an inner ring suburb of Minnesota and everything. So he's been a congressman since 2019. He was the CEO of Phillips Distilling Company from 2000 to 2012. Now he's a congressman, and he filed in October 26, 2023. And, he's running this far-out campaign. Don't stand a ghost of a chance. Maybe he's trying to make a statement for 2028. But nobody knows about Dean Phillips. Marianne Williamson, she's the author and founder of Project Angel Food. And as I say, she was a candidate for president in 2020. She's 71 years old, born in 1952 in Houston, Texas. And so far, none of them have even come close to challenging Biden. Have 55 delegates won so far. Of course, the president, represented from 1973 till he was vice president in 2009, the great state of Delaware as U.S. Senator. And he also was born in Scranton, Pennsylvania, born November 20th, my birthday, 1942. He's 81 years old. So Joe Biden is up there in experience and age. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he was running as a Democrat, but see, that's a dead horse in a race. So he, at 69 years old, he was born in D.C. to Robert Kennedy, U.S. Senator and presidential candidate in 1968, and F.L. Scakel Kennedy, the famous Scakel Kennedy clan. And he is an environmentalist lawyer, founder of the Children's Health Defense Fund, and founder of Waterkeeper Alliance. So his home state is California. So his campaign was announced April 19th, 2023, and he's now running as an independent since October 9th, 2023. So Vice President Kamala Harris is going all over the country and talking about women's rights and women's reproductive rights and gay rights and how we have to protect gay marriage and also traditional marriage in terms of interracial marriages and everything, because Republicans, you know, don't want to take that away from people. You know what I mean? Who you decide to marry and who you decide to sleep with is your business as a grown adult. So some Democrats expressed skepticism about Biden choosing Harris again as his running mate, as she is also seen in a similar low approval rating to Biden. But the latest polls show that Biden is up by 5 percentage points. And in January 2023, U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren said in a radio interview that she supported Biden's re-election bid, but stopped short of supporting Harris. She later clarified her position, saying that she supported the Biden-Harris ticket. So it's full throttle ahead, and we have a long way to go, 10 months or 9 months to the official election day, or Tuesday, November 5th, 2024. And I think it's, you know, I think that, you know, Democrats can like pull off a victory in terms of the U.S. Senate races. We have 32 Senate races up for grabs, all 435 House seats up for grabs, and, of course, the presidency. So, you know, what do you think? The Republicans will choose Trump. If they want to go down that hellhole, they can, by all means. Nikki Haley, I think 25th of this month is the South Carolina primary. She's home. So do you think she can surpass this 40% gap between her and Trump? What's your thoughts on that?
More than likely, no. More than likely, she probably, you know, I think that maybe she needed to, if she would have started way back, you know, like Chris Christie did, you know, speaking about Trump, instead of waiting, you know, till a couple of weeks ago, maybe she would have more traction. But, you know, she did a little, you know, she did a too little, too late, in my opinion. You know, like even today, she said, no interest in running for vice president, you know, and I only want to be the president of the United States. Well, okay, I understand that, you know, and, you know, why would she want to be vice president anyways to that lunatic? But I don't see her getting the nomination. I just don't. And the other reason I don't see it is not because I don't think that she, well, she might be qualified. She's more qualified than, you know, the Orange Monster. But if you want to talk in those terms, but I cannot see men voting for a woman president. I just can't see it happening. It's just not right now. America, basically, hates women right now. American men are up in arms with women for, you know, trying to take away our rights. So how that makes, they're not going to vote for a woman. I find that very hard to believe. So,
well, let's just put it this way. I wouldn't say men. I wouldn't broad brush it saying all men wouldn't vote for a woman, because we saw Hillary Clinton get 3 million votes over. But in the Republican Party, you know, they basically shit on women, and it's a case of do as I, you know, speak when you're spoken to and bark when you're called. You know, as Speaker Johnson said, that women, their job is to, like, make babies, you know, mass-produce babies, you know, which is very disrespectful. Women can't have a career. Women have broken, you know, glass ceilings from Hillary Clinton and, you know, everyone you could think of. You know, so the Nevada primary is February 6th, tomorrow. Nikki Haley is not on that ballot. And the Michigan primary is February 27th. You know, and we all know what's happening in Michigan, the Republican Party there. And they just have $10,000 in the bank account, and they're split in two. So you have two Republican parties in Michigan. So the big thing, though, is March 5th. March 5th is Super Tuesday, where Alabama, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Iowa, mail-in vote, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, and Virginia have primaries, along with American Samoa. and we'll get a clearer picture to see if Nikki Haley really stand a chance in challenging Donald Trump for the Republican nomination. All bets are off after that, you know, because, you know, Democrats abroad, Georgia, Mississippi, North Mariana Islands, and Washington State have their primaries on March 12th. And then March 19th, Arizona, Illinois, Kansas, and Ohio. March 23rd, Louisiana and Missouri primaries. April 2nd, Connecticut, Delaware, New York, Rhode Island, Wisconsin. April 6th, Alaska and Hawaii have primaries. North Dakota has caucuses. April 13th, Wyoming, county caucuses. April 23rd, Pennsylvania primary. April 28th, Puerto Rico primary. May 7th is the Indiana primary. May 14th, Maryland, Nebraska, and West Virginia have their primaries. May 24th, Kentucky and Oregon have their primaries. May 23rd, Idaho County caucuses. June 4th, District of Columbia, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, and South Dakota have their primaries. And June 8th, Guam and United States, Virgin Islands have caucuses. And for some reason, unbeknownst to me, Florida has canceled their primaries. I don't know what that's about, but, you know. Yeah, so, you know, it's going to be interesting from here on and out. You know, can Nikki Haley pull a dramatic comeback and upset the orange monster? Or the Republican Party will go down a line where it's down a rabbit hole and we'll say that people are starting to pay attention now because he's very erratic and emotional. He claims women are emotional and can't handle stress. Well, he's freaking out every other day, you know. And, you know, I don't usually wish, you know, bad on anybody, but can't he just, you know, blow a blood vessel in his head and just die? You know, that's how much I dislike this man, you know, so.
Because, you know, it's sometimes when you think about it, you know, it's hard to believe that one man with the enablers that he has, but one man, 2015, has caused so much strife, division, hatred. There is nothing positive that has happened since this man has become president. I mean, he was, you know, running for president, then he became president, and after, you know, then he lost in 2020. It's been just drama after drama after drama with this man, and he doesn't shut his mouth. He doesn't go away. He doesn't understand that sane people do not believe a word that he says. Not a word, you know, and he himself has said, that, you know, he loves the, you know, the poor, the educated. Of course he does, you know, because he talks to them. He speaks to them. He speaks their language. So, yeah, you know, it's sad that this country right now is doing so well economically, you know, with the jobs, with, you know, with all the everything that they have, the Biden administration has put into place. And what I think, when I think about all of the positive things that he's done, yes, but the American people have not been able to feel the good that he's done. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, let's say the CHIPS Act, all right? Now they're going to build a plant in Colorado, and they're going to start producing chips for the cars. But we know that's going to happen. But until those people get those jobs in that plant, you know, they're not going to feel that, you know. And there's, you know, there's like inflation. Let's say inflation is down. Yes, inflation is down. It's down quite a bit. But there are still people struggling. So the Republican Party, you know, the talking heads, take those words and say that it's Biden's fault when it's not. We know whose fault it is. We know it's the greedy
corporation. Basically, Joe Biden playing the long game, you know, and the Republicans are short-sighted and just think for not in the ahead. And when you ask them what you plan for America if and when you get the White House back and have a Congress to yourself, they say, oh, no, cut more taxes for the rich on 1%, you know. What else? Get rid of the Department of Interior, Department of Labor, Department of Education, because I really like poorly educated people. With poorly educated people, you have nice, good foot soldiers who obey and listen. You know, but America is not all about that. This is not the 1930s or even before that, where, you know, people are gullible. You know, the Republican side, their base is gullible and stupid, but, you know, we all know that already. So, anything you want to talk about America, we're here till 11:30, 2 hour show, 515-605-9802. We'll have Eric, Doris, and Susan lined up. We'll get your calls soon and everything. So, you know, Biden, Harris, and Pete Buttigieg, the transport secretary, they're going to speak at a House Democrats retreat, which is coming up. And, you know, the House Democrats annual retreat is next week. It matters because Democratic lawmakers will use the event known formally as ISIS Conference to craft their case for retaking the majority ahead of the 2024 elections. So Vice President Harris will open the retreat on Wednesday with an armchair conversation, according to a letter from House Democratic Caucus Chair Pete Aguilar. He's a Democrat from California. And a keynote address from Biden will follow on Thursday, the following day. And events will also include a discussion with United Auto Workers President Sean Fain and Service Employees International Union President Mary Kay Henry. So other panel discussions will center around lowering costs and artificial intelligence and abortion. Abortion rights and women's rights is the key thing in this election. It's going to be big. I expect women of all ages and political stripes to come out and vote Democratic, even if you're a Republican. Why? Because Republicans have shown that they don't give a damn about women. So without, you know, further ado, let's bring in the panel here now. Welcome, folks, to Kitchen Politics. What's cooking tonight? Eric, Susie, and
hey, everybody, how's it going?
Good, Doris.
Okay, so here's what I want to do right quick, and if it's all right with you all, and just before I make this official, because I meant to call you earlier just to tell you that I wanted to do this. While we have this here on audio, I want to kind of live myself with the Facebook and YouTube with this, and then we can go back and watch that. Is that okay?
Okay, yeah, sure.
All right, just making sure. Okay, so before we continue, let me just do this right quick. Let me hit the live on the YouTube, hit live on the Facebook, and then we should be ready to go in just shortly. Okay, so here we are. This is me, Eric Bradley, here, precinct delegate and trustee of the Michigan Democratic Party, here co-hosting and calling in to Kitchen Table Politics 123, hosted by David Franklin and Lori Picker. Thank you for having me here, and we're going to cover some good stuff tonight.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, so this retreat now. Yeah, go ahead, Lori.
No, you were just talking about the retreat. And you know what I find interesting?
Yes.
That the Pete Buttigieg is going to be part of it. I love that idea that he's part of it because that man is brilliant. And I see a future for him. I truly do. People could just get over the fact that, you know, he is gay and he's married to a man. Yes, he has two children. You know, get over that. He's happy. He doesn't hurt anyone. He loves his family. And he is great at what he's doing. I mean, as a transportation secretary, this man has been all over the country. And when he speaks, he is eloquent. He knows his facts. He knows how to defend the party. He knows how to defend President Biden. I mean, I love this man. So I feel that he has a great future coming up. I really do. So I'm happy that he is part of this group that's going to be in this this retreat. I really am.
Yes.
I would add something.
Go ahead. Sorry. Oh, yeah, well, okay. Ed, I think you're right about that. And, you know, when he ran, he knew what he was going to face. And it took a lot of courage for him to run and know he's going to face all this stuff. And so he did a service actually for gay people by, you know, being a role model. He did well. So I think he's a very good example, And I just want to mention something, though. I just heard that Thursday from 10 o'clock for about an hour and a half, it's going to be, you'll be able to hear what goes on in the Supreme Court when this issue about immunity is coming up. So it will be, you'll be able to hear it.
Really?
Between 10 in the morning and maybe for an hour and a half or something like that. And they introduce the lawyers. And one of the lawyers for Trump, I didn't know him, his last name is Mitchell, but he was the one who came up with the idea of having, what do you call them, people going to report on women having abortions, like, what do you call it, give them money who turn them in, you know? That's going to be one of the attorneys for Trump.
Oh, that's hysterical. Where is it going to be, where can you hear it? Is it going to be C-SPAN?
I'm going to be looking it up, but it seems to me we can look it up. But it seems to me that since it's going to be put out, and usually they're not, that we can find that out. But I don't know for sure. It could be MS. It could be all of them. I don't know. But I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, we'll check it out.
Okay, and then I also want to let everybody here know. I think I already told Lori, and I'm here to tell David, just reminding you and reminding everybody else here. I know Rich from California, a conservative voter, called in last week, and I talked to him earlier, and he should be calling in tonight. And so, as usual, I'm going to try my best to kind of help clear the air and just kind of give him the answers that he and others are basically really wanting to hear. So hopefully he should be calling in a bit.
Yeah, no problem.
Yes.
No
hey,
problem.
So now what do y'all think about Krista Noem, the South Dakota governor? She is in the running to be Trump's running mate. He mentioned her name and Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina as possible running mate. And, you know, she allegedly had a rumored love affair with Corey Lewandowski. You know, how do you feel about that? Because she run on family values and call herself a Christian, been married to her husband Bruce for how many years? But yet still openly, she's carrying on this affair, you know? Does not leave a bad taste in your mouth, you know, Lori?
Well, sure. I mean, especially if you look down at other people that have done what you've done. That's all. I mean, you know, and then brag about it. It's just not right.
Well, you know what? To tell you the truth, I would say that this whole thing really doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, especially with who they've propped up for their nominee on the national level. I mean, it's just, I figured that they were going to quickly overlook that or simply pretend that it didn't happen. And that's why I haven't really raised much issue about that. I don't think that she's the worst person that we have, but and clearly it's it, something like that just wasn't made to be a big deal, apparently, in the eyes of many.
Unless it's because she's a woman, she can't get away with it, though Trump did. Does.
Yeah. You know, of course. There is a double standard.
They're not really talking about the whole Marjorie Greene thing. Wasn't there a story where Marjorie Greene cheated on her husband with a guy from the gym or something like that?
I don't know.
Two guys from the gym, actually. You know, I wonder if a ménage à trois happened. So Jimmy Kimmel last night was off the chain and he was on fire. And he was making a point that a man who cheats on his wives demands loyalty. I mean, the Republican Party, behind closed doors, they really rub Trump and say, oh, he's disgusting, he's a piece of shit. But yet still, for some reason, they're just afraid of him. So, Susie, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm listening.
What do you think about, you know, the Republican Party, all of them being such cowards? There's only Nikki Haley and the former New Jersey governor, Chris Christie, stand up to Trump. Everybody else is just kissing the ring and bowing down to him. Don't you find that deplorable and disgusting?
Yes, they're two-faced. They say one thing and do something else. And they're all, this whole business about the Trumpers and the MAGAs, it's like what happened back in the 30s. Because of the immigration, Italy and Germany didn't like all the immigrants. So then, you know, get rid of them. And they were nationalists, white nationalists, fascists. And that's what's happening here. That's the excuse. You know, we got immigrants. You know, our country was built on immigrants. The only Native Americans are the real citizens, right? We're all immigrants. So now they're saying, oh, but we only can be white immigrants, you know, so we're fascists. Get rid of them. And that's the basis of their party right now. It's ridiculous. They don't care about anybody. They want to, I mean, just to think about giving back Social Security and Medicare that we all paid in all the years we worked. It's our money. And then give the, like you said, Dave, you know, all the tax breaks, the biggest tax breaks that we're still paying for and put us in debt for the rich. And the reason people are bitching about inflation is because these damn corporations never lowered the price of their products. They were making a killing. They want to keep on making a killing. I mean, smaller bags with hardly any chips and a lot of air, and they're charging more than they did, you know, before the COVID. That was the excuse. And nobody backed down. And it's disgusting. And gasoline and prices and stuff, if there's storms going through the South, that's going to be a perfect excuse to raise gas prices, you know. So corporations have too much power, and they're bought and paid for the Congress, and that's why we're here.
Another thing is Donald Trump is running on immigration, and he wants to tank the border bill that Republicans and Democrats in the Senate worked so hard for weeks on. And Speaker Johnson went down to Mar-a-Lago to kiss the ring. And it was even a worse deal or a better deal than the previous speaker had, you know. And because Donald Trump don't like good things and wants to see America suffer because he wants all the political gain and mileage of killing that border bill, you know, he wants to look good because Republicans have nothing else to run on besides, you know, oh, why are you not doing anything about the border, securing the borders, you know, and it's this whole facade, this political theater, you know?
Yeah, they're lying like hell. They're lying like hell. There is a deal. And a lot of the far lefters don't like the deal because it's too brutal. But, you know, it's better than they ever the Republicans ever got before. And it's been there, and they won't use it because it'll make the orange monster look good.
I have something to say about that, Ms. Doris. I was thinking about, I remember back when Presidents Reagan, it seemed like others, that they went on TV at times because they were in a position to do that. And I don't see that happening much. You know, just go there, tight TVs put aside because the president's going to speak. And they addressed the issues and then brought that out publicly. If the people... I mean, a lot of Republicans have to be on or have relatives that are on Social Security, so I can't figure out. There's got to be a whole lot of people that don't want to lose Social Security that maybe are not being heard or don't know about it, but that I don't know why the president doesn't use the TV at times. I'm sure Reagan did it, and others, they just tape it. They're going to talk. It's not the State of the Union or anything. They just come on and talk. And I would like to see that happen about issues that come up so that people will hear things that they're not hearing. Because if they don't know this is happening, that says something about them. They're not getting informed or doing what they need to do to find out. And that's true. I mean, I listen to everything all the time because I'm crazy, but they don't, you know, they don't want to do that even to find out. And so we have to have some way, and I think the president could have the time, at least they used to go on and address real serious issues like the border so that the people that really are along with the curbing of the border can hear what was put up. And then just the saying, well, then Trump's going to say it was horrible. But if you don't even know what it is, that says a whole lot, and I think we have to address that. They got to hear
the
it.
News, right. The news channels did today list what was in the bill. They did bring it out. I saw it on 2-3 different stations. And they mentioned all the things that is in the new bill.
Does Fox do that? Do you think Fox or OAN or any of those did it?
Oh, I never look at those.
No,
no, but a lot of these
a regular
do.
TV, local TV, you know, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, they had it. The normal channels.
Well, you know, over the normal people, right.
Over the weekend, President Biden spoke at South Carolina's first in the nation dinner in Columbia, South Carolina. And he took aim at the grocery stores for ripping people off amid continued high prices. And he said, "They're, you know, we're being played for suckers." And he's absolutely right. And this is part of why people are, and Doris, you brought out a good, this is exactly why people are upset with Biden, because the Republican Party, for a long time now, if you think back since COVID, since President Biden took office, and, you know, we have had, yes, we've had inflation. We had a lot of problems. Biden has fixed a lot of things, and inflation has come down. But they know that the public understands what inflation is. And there are some people that if you're not making a great amount of money, you do feel when you have to spend almost, you know, $5 for a loaf of bread, you know, or $4 for a gallon of milk, a half gallon, actually, you know, those sort of things. And your eggs, you know, sometimes $2, $3, $4 a dozen. And we know that these grocery store chains that are owned by these corporations are jacking up prices, and there's no one to tell them that they can't. And so the blame goes back on who? President Biden and his administration, because they don't. People don't really understand that he cannot control pricing. He can complain, but he can't control prices. So if
I'll tell
they
you
would,
what, hold on one
if,
second,
well,
right
just
quick.
One second. If they, you know, if they would just get out there on a, you know, when they hear someone say, "Oh, it's inflation." Well, get out there and explain that Kroger's or whatever store it is, it's just screwing you in a nice way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
if people understood that, then maybe President Biden would have a better approval rating.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thought. And go ahead, Eric, I think something.
Yeah, I was just going to say this, and I want to say, so yeah, you're right. He may not be able to control that. And generally, presidents, I mean, senators, Congress people, but they're not in control of those things. I'll tell you one thing we can control. And I'll tell you one thing we can control. We can control how we strategize, organize, mobilize, energize, and realize, which is the hashtag that I created, M-E-R, Somer, or Summer, however you want to pronounce that. And so I'm still putting together this 20-state strategy, as we've talked about. And I have the 20 states here. And by the way, is Elaine here? Did she call in yet?
No, she's not feeling well tonight. She's not feeling well.
Okay, so we have two. Okay, got you. So here are my 20 states that I have. And I hope a lot of the Democrats who are watching this will pay attention to this here. Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Minnesota. We have Maine, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia. We have Florida, Georgia, Texas, Nevada, Arizona, and we have Kentucky, Tennessee, Iowa, Missouri, and New Hampshire. Now, those are the 20 states that I have where – so this 20-state strategy is not just applied to 2024. This is what we have to do also in 2026, 28, 30, 32, going forward. And part of this 20-state strategy is not just about explaining to independent and undecided voters about – why we are pushing Biden-Harris and the accomplishments and the achievements that they've done. It's also about pushing top Democratic officials to go to those states and to brag about the things that they've done or have tried to do.
Right.
You know, we've talked about the capping of insulin at $35 a month. We've talked about the American Rescue Plan Act. Part of that act was adding $7.25 billion to the Paycheck Protection Program, which was a thing that was essentially a loan that was backed by Small Business Administration that helped businesses to keep their workforce and workforce employed during the COVID crisis. And so Biden, when he passed that act, it invested $7 billion into that program. Not the Paycheck Protection Program, the Economic Injury Disaster Loan invested $15 billion into that. The PACT Act, which gave health care to veterans who were exposed to toxic burn pits. The CHIPS Act, which brought over 800,000 manufacturing jobs here. So I say that even with some of those states that I listed, and I understand that I might get some disagreements here because I know some of those are red states, but we have some blue representation out there, and the demographics are slowly but surely changing in a lot of those states, especially Texas, with Beto O'Rourke, who almost won both times. And I say that when we really talk to those states, tell Democrats, hey, the officials need to get down there. We need people like the Obamas to go speak down there. We need the Obamas. We need, I would even say, like the Clintons and Biden and Harris and all top Democratic officials. They're going to have to talk to activists and organizers and get them to get on the ground in those states, too. That's the only way that we're going to help election, because I don't, the polls are looking all over the place right now. I know people don't really trust polls, especially since 2016.
No.
But that's how we're going to, we're going to go forward from there. And I want to dive a little bit more into that. I just got word that Rich is calling in. So go ahead and bring Rich in. Rich, how are you doing? We got affirmative voters.
Rich, welcome to the show from California. Hello, Rich.
I am doing excellent, you guys. Thanks for having me again. I want you to know I'm here with my MAGA hat on, and I have like an American flag caped over me. And as I said that, a bald eagle just flew by. Now, I want to answer Lori's question real quick, and I'll make it short. Like, you know how you're saying, well, why doesn't Biden go on TV? Somewhere I remember someone said, never underestimate Joe Biden's ability to screw things up. That was Obama that said that. Well, you know, if Biden went on TV, he'd be like, we hold these truths to be self-evident. You know the thing. You know, it's, guys, come on. If he was our dog, we would put him to sleep. But this is getting to be like elder abuse just trotting this guy out here. I think it's over for Biden. I mean, have you guys seen the poll today?
You
can't drink. Well, it says,
you know,
NBC
Trump can't drink a bottle of water without, like, looking stupid. And he can't put two sentences that make sense together. You know, so if anything, it's, you know, your guy, Donald Trump, we have to worry about, you know. He's incoherent in his speeches. He can't walk down some steps by himself. He defecates upon himself. He wears adult diapers. You know, he gropes women, grab them by the pussy. You know, all that good
Bill
thing.
Clinton?
So,
oh.
No,
okay,
he's worse than Bill Clinton. Did Bill Clinton rape anybody? No.
Well, actually,
hold on one second.
I don't want to say anything because you know how the Clintons tend to get a little murdery. Have you seen the Clintons murder?
Oh, no, come on, no.
Don't even start with the Clintons. The Clintons are years ago. They're gone. They're not in the government. They don't do anything, okay? They're living their lives, and they do speak once in a while, but they're living their lives. So they are not part of the story. What's the part of the story is right now is your man Trump, the orange monster,
they're leading in the polls,
and President Biden, they can talk. If you were to put President Biden and Trump on the same stage, President Biden can get him with facts and figures immediately. The only thing that Trump has over him is he's got a big mouth and he doesn't shut up. That's the only thing. And he will, why
exactly.
Is my last question to you, and then I'm going to let Eric talk to you. Question to you is, why has Trump refused, if he is the nominee, to have a debate with President Biden? Why did
you mean
he refuse
with Biden
to do that? Yes, he refused.
Or do you mean with Nikki Haley?
He will not have a debate. He will not debate. He said that already. So why?
Oh.
Why is that?
I didn't read that, but I'll take your word on that. Well, you know how Trump's not debating Nikki Haley? it's probably the same reason. He probably thinks, well, I'll defeat Biden without even having a debate. And I think the same thing with Nikki Haley. But on NBC right now, it says NBC polls show Trump's lead over Biden growing 47 to 42. And NBC, you know, what the right-wingers call it, MSNBC, they're like the DNC. And so I don't know. I don't know if Biden's going to be able to pull a rabbit out of the hat.
Vote, Rich. Polls do not vote. People vote. Well, now, every single day I get calls from polls, from poll takers or whatever you call these people.
Yeah.
I won't answer them. There's no way I'm going to give them my opinion. So it's
I never get a call. So who the hell do they call?
Exactly. And you know what? If they call 25 people and out of that they get 10 people for Trump and 5 people for Biden, oh, whoopee, Trump is up, oh, 40%. You know, that's what I'm talking about. People are the ones that vote, not your pollsters. They do not vote. Those people get paid to do that job. That's all they do. That is it. So I don't care about polls. Polls are mean nothing to me. Okay, when we count our ballots and we see who wins at the end, that's when we can talk. Not until then.
Well,
I don't want to hear.
Do you guys think that the majority of Americans trust Biden more with the economy or Trump? Because on MSNBC, it says 55% trust Trump. So you're saying that all these people, these very liberal and left-leaning news outlets are lying.
Yes.
Well,
no.
Why would CNN lie?
What are you saying?
Wait a minute. Everybody,
where are you getting these numbers?
Oh.
Where do you guess?
Wait, hold on.
Yeah. NBC News today.
Hold on a second. Everybody, let me step in right quick. Let me just say this.
Go ahead, Eric.
Here's the only way that I can answer that question. The reason why I can't say straight yes or no to that one, whether it be Biden or Trump or whether it be anybody else who ran in the past or anybody who's going to run in the future, here's the thing about that. And I'll tell you, I've seen this firsthand. And I've really learned this after 2016. Because that both candidates were essentially tied in the polls throughout most of the election, as with 2020 and as kind of what we're seeing now. There are a lot of people out there on the left and the right who kind of lie and are secretive about who they're voting for. I know one person who was supposedly backing Hillary throughout all of 2016 up until about November 7th, the 6th or the 7th. And then on November 8th, she posted that she was voting Trump. And I've seen people do the same thing on the other side. So that's why she's saying that the polls are not 100% reliable. We saw that in 2016. You got a lot of people on the right who might not like Trump and might be embarrassed by him because of his outlandishness. They might say they're voting for him and some of them might secretly not, or vice versa. They could be afraid to admit that they don't like him and they're just going to say the same thing might happen on the left. And there's not going to be a lot of people not voting at all anyway, and some people are going to vote third party. That's why I say right now there's not a surefire way to tell. Now, I still only look at the polls sometimes just to get an idea of where we might be at. And I'm looking at some of the polls in the other states. Like I'm looking at the Arizona Senate race between Ruben Gallego and Kerry Lake. It's essentially tied out there, but that's kind of a different story. So my question to you would be, I know you said that you were hardcore backing Trump for this election, and that's okay. It's an opinion and you do what you want. But you also stated in the last segment from last week when I was asking, that you were open to hearing why people were backing Biden. And I think I gave you some of that when we talked on the phone earlier. Now, would you like me to go a little bit more into that? Because I have a list of things.
I would appreciate it, yeah.
I'll give you each of the things, and then you tell me what you think of each of the accomplishments and achievements that were done. Is that good?
That's good.
Okay, so let me start off with this. Now, some of this I'm reading off of here, and then others I can remember off the top of my head. For one, he gave federal workers and contractors $15 an hour. Now, we tried to push that across the board to have that for everybody, but I think that's a good start there. We still want more. Let me see. On the student debt thing, there were what, he canceled up to $20,000 per individual in student debt. Now, I thought he was only going to $1,000 to $5,000, so he surpassed my expectation on that one a bit. We got out of Afghanistan, even though that was kind of messy in terms of how it happened. The Biden administration massively lowered the drone strike, the drone war, by over 80%. You're talking, he got us back in the Paris Climate Agreement. He got us back in the World Health Organization. They were supposed to get back into the Iran deal, but we didn't do that yet, and hopefully they're willing to do that. He put a pause on, now, even though the genocide and the Israeli-Gaza situation isn't looking too good now, he did briefly put a pause on giving the weapons to Saudi Arabia to help to, you know, stop the committing of the genocide in Yemen. He's also re-enrolled 10 to 15 million Americans back onto the Affordable Care Act. 500, now, I think both parties failed on the immigration thing, but 500 migrant children were reunited with their families through the Biden administration. There are some marijuana convictions that have been pardoned. There have been they stood by the UAW workers who were told by the Republicans that they didn't deserve the strike and they should be fired. So just that's a fraction of it right there. And so before I dive into the others, just off those things alone, I mean, what do you think of that? Is there something there that you're not understanding, or would you want me to clarify?
Yeah, so let's. Oh no, you did. I appreciate it. You did it flawlessly, perfect. So the first one, federal workers getting an increase in pay, really? Really? So,
well, so hold up. Let me ask you something about that.
Yeah.
Are you saying that you think they shouldn't have gotten a pay, or do you not believe the story, or what's the problem?
I think government is way too bloated. It's way too big. And I'm like a historian with what our founders believed. And I think, if I go out and I ask every one of my neighbors, are you glad federal employees got a pay raise? Like, how does that help me? Well, I mean, maybe if it helps the IRS to get more money, you know, from people, if they're giving the IRS agents pay raises. So the federal workers, I think the federal government's too big. I mean, I'd like to get your opinion later on. If you guys think, should we just keep growing this monster bigger and bigger? It's like,
well, you need somebody to supervise education, drugs, pollution, and that sort of thing. It has to be national regulations on that stuff. Each state can't say, oh, I'll take this pill, but not that pill. You can't be doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
What I would like them to see is get prices down. The only people that got cheap insulin is old folks. The young people and other people are paying $300 to $500 a month for insulin to stay alive. That's ridiculous.
I go to Canada if they're near it to go get it, because I have a friend who goes from Michigan to Canada. He did. He's older, but other people that are not older, they go to Canada, and Bernie Sanders took all kinds of people to Canada to get cheaper drugs for cancer and other things. That's because those other countries were not like them.
And the same companies are selling insulin in Europe and Canada for $40 a vial when we're paying $350 to $450 for the same damn vial. Why?
Yeah, but we're on the federal workers' pay raise right now. So,
yeah, I know.
So on that part,
got to be regulated.
So on, let me tell you something about the regulation. You know, the taxes that we pay in California are sky high, and the roads are cracked. Big old potholes, cracks all over. And people say the same argument. You say, well, you want to drive on nice roads, do you? And they're just, California's going downhill. This is why, you know, more people have moved out of California than moving into it. But anyways, on the federal workers, out of respect to Eric, you're not going to get people that believe in like independence, that believe in smaller government, or Trump supporters or Republicans, especially conservatives. You're not going to, I'm not even salivating over the fact that some nerdy guy in the federal government with a pocket protector and glasses is over here getting a higher pay raise. It doesn't help any of my neighbors. It doesn't help anyone that I know.
Oh,
Hold on a second.
Answer the question, but let's go through it, and then we'll go back, and we'll let me give you my answers to them if Eric agrees on that, and then we'll go back and we'll chat about it. Because otherwise, well, I'll never get through this whole list. So what was the next one? It was a student debt?
Wait, hold up a second. Let me do this right quick. So I can only partially agree with your statement where you say, well, this thing right here might sound good, but it may not help my neighbor. First of all, you never know. I mean, in terms of you don't know where all the neighbors work at and this person
That's
could be
right.
benefiting. But wait, hold on. I'm not saying that means that every single policy and achievement that I've listed is a thing that benefited every single person. Because no matter who we get in office, there's going to be some people in the middle who are going to be not affected one way or the other, indifferent. Now, that brings me to my next point. There was a piece of legislation that was called the PAC Act, which was introduced in Congress by Democratic Congressman Mark McConnell, who I believe is in California. And, of course, this was back when Nancy Pelosi was still the Speaker. This was Democrats had the House back in 22. And, of course, it passed the House. I didn't see a reason for it not to. There was really no excuse there. And then it gets to the Senate. Surprisingly, it passes the Senate with who we have in there. And surprisingly, and I'll even go so far to say this, there were some Republicans who actually voted yes on this. There was still a good number that voted no on it. And, of course, President Biden signed it. Now, what was that bill? That bill was giving health care to veterans who were exposed to toxic burn pits. Now,
yeah,
I remember
like his son.
I remember doing a show in November of 2022, right before the midterms took place, and I said, listen, I want all the veterans to remember this and be aware of this. I mean, I had two family members that served in the military, actually three now that I can think of. One of them is still here. Two are deceased. But I just want people to remember and know if you're not already aware. Just so you know, the reason why they got that is because, you know, Democrats passed it in both chambers of the House and or both chambers of Congress, and, of course, President Biden signed it. Now, again, I'm not trying to make a partisan hack argument to say that just every last thing Democrats say and do is always correct, but just letting them know that that was one of them, and you got this because of us. What do you think of that bill so far if you weren't already aware of it?
Okay, well, so first on the first one, the federal workers – I'm kind of in the majority there. The majority of people say that the federal government's way too powerful and way too big. So I believe like the founders did in limited federal government. So that's my opinion on that. On that other bill, so did the bill pass or did it not pass?
Oh, no.
The one you're telling me about.
It passed. It passed.
Okay, I have to look at it. I haven't seen it. So I'd have to look at it and see, you know, read it, and because I don't know exactly the wording of it or how where the funds came from or how much went to what or what the rules were on it. But I'll look into that, and I'll give you an answer on that. But the next one was student debt, right?
Let me bring you to the other one, too. Here are some of the other ones I really want to get to as well. The next biggest
Okay, let's do the ones you want to get to first, and
Well, right. I'm going to cover all of them. Don't worry. Like I said, I want to make sure we get
okay.
through it thoroughly. And then, by the way, this is not me attempting to pressure you. I know that everybody's always asking people left and right, well, what has this administration done? Here I am providing the answers to the best of my ability. And at the end of the day,
don't worry about it.
Kind of interpret it how you want to and then decide, hey, this is worth it.
No problem.
But at the very least, I just want you to hear it. Is that good?
Yeah, that's why I'm telling you. I think Democrats and Republicans, especially conservative Republicans, we live in two different worlds. Even all of us would agree on that. I think the government's too bloated. It's been said every time you have the government do something, it's like taking blood from the left arm and putting it in the right arm, but you're spilling blood along the way. And I agree with what Reagan said when he said the worst word you want to hear is, hi, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. So I believe in limited government. So on the federal workers, them getting an increase, I totally disagree. I give a F minus on that one. And I'm in the 54%, by the way, of people that say government's too big and federal government's too big and too powerful.
I'd like to ask a question here. We don't have a bloating of the judges and the personnel that can make decisions about people at the border. That's why it gets packed up. They can't make the decisions. There aren't enough judges. And the IRS, they are wanting to cut it back, and the IRS is not going to be able to go after big money makers as they are after people like the rest of us, and they're not overbloated there. I wondered what you thought about that.
Well, the federal agents are actually cutting razor wire, for example, at the Texas border. That's ridiculous. It's like the fox. Well, you talked about the border and the bloated. I'm not going to let the federal government. It's obviously that the federal government's failing at protecting the border. I mean, have you heard of the impeachment of Mayorkas?
Hey, listen to me, Rich. For one second, I want to ask you a question. Do you think that it was right and humane for the governor of Texas, Abbott, to put razor wire and saws that actually cut people and could kill them if they came across? And it did. And it hurt them. And it maimed these people. I'm not finished.
I think it's right to put razor wire there.
It is.
Yeah, you think it's okay when they stop the federal agents from saving a mother and two children that drowned? Do you think that was okay?
I'd like to answer it, though. You got to let me answer it.
Biden doesn't answer that question.
Well, you're not answering.
Go ahead. Listen.
Can I answer it?
What I'm saying to you is, a governor put razor wire in the Rio Grande.
That's wonderful. I want him protecting our families over here in America. Family comes first.
That is murder.
I don't want MS-13 coming over here and raping my daughter.
Do you understand?
Why would I want these gang members coming here raping my daughter? Are you for rape?
Americans are more violent per capita than the people coming over the border, legal or illegal. Did you not know that?
And the Supreme Court told him that was illegal and to take it out, and he has refused to honor what the Supreme Court said.
No, actually, they didn't say to take it out.
The Supreme Court.
Yes,
actually, you're reading the ruling.
Unconstitutional.
No, they said the federal government could cut it, but they didn't stop the from them putting it up.
So he's breaking the law. Do you understand that? He's breaking the law. That is inhumane. That is murder.
Why did he stop building the wall?
Don't bring Biden into this.
Because you need more Democrat voters?
Trump's supposed to get the wall and get Mexico to pay for it. Did he do that?
Rich. Why did Biden quit building the wall? Elon Musk today said it. David, one more comment. Elon Musk said Biden's letting people come in, so
Elon
he can get
Musk
more Democrat voters. Lori, if you were a true Christian, you would admit that's the truth.
Oh, don't go back to that. You will get my blood
come
pressure.
Come on, Lori. Every one of you on the line know that Biden wants more Democrat voters. That's why he's letting them in.
Of course he does.
Yes, that's right. I said it. I said the truth. Lori knows it. Eric knows it. David knows it.
Years to become a citizen.
You guys want those Democrat voters coming over here, don't you? Be honest.
No, we don't. Because they're not capable of voting. For years and years.
That's what it's about, those Democrat voters over. That's why you guys are against stopping the invasion.
About what you're talking about.
You have no
And I have a question for you with your small government. Why does your government have the size and energy to be in women's crotches all the time and in their uteruses? Why don't they mind their own goddamn business and let people live their lives?
Are you gonna go down the road about your obsession of killing babies through abortion again?
You women need to repent.
You, Lori, call yourself a Christian, and you're promoting the killing of babies. Shame on you.
No, I'm promoting the fact that when I got raped in college and I wasn't done with college and I ended up pregnant by somebody I didn't know who committed a crime against me, I should not ever be forced to have to carry that to term.
The baby
okay,
was a sweet,
the baby was a clump of cells smaller than my pinky fingernail and had no heart, no brain, no ideas.
So were you.
Yeah, when at that time. But my parents chose
stuttering.
To have me. And my mother got pregnant by her husband, not some stranger
right.
who attacked her. And they chose
anyways,
to have children.
So Eric,
I was
Eric,
a freshman in college. I was just barely 17 years old, and I didn't choose any of that. Except that
I don't believe you. I'm sorry. I don't believe
he doesn't
you.
Care about people that were born. He cares about people that aren't developed yet. That's what.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
but
don't
got,
believe
they
you.
They got all the energy in the world in the government to get into stuff that's none of their fucking business.
Hey. Roe versus Wade's been overturned. Just live with it. Live with the fact that
no,
wonderful babies
yeah,
will be bouncing around all happy and joyous.
Fucking Supreme Court justices who lied their asses off during their confirmation hearings to get in there so they could do something to overturn an existing law that was there for 50 years.
Yeah, it was bad
no
law, case law, though. You got to admit, there's nothing in the Constitution or Declaration or Bill of Rights that says you have this carte blanche right to murder a baby. Where does it say it? Point it out in the Constitution.
Baby.
I got all night.
They're not babies when they're parasites in your body that you did not choose to have put there.
So are you saying you were a parasite once?
Wait, hold on a second. Hold on a second.
No,
hold on.
I say
hold
my
on.
Parents had me
right.
by choice.
So you
choice.
Weren't a parasite.
A husband and
I
a wife.
Kind of
I
hypocritical
was a
that people that are pro-abortion have already been
shut
born.
Shut the hell up for a minute.
Rich, we've already covered this before.
Let me talk for a minute.
Hold on. Let me just say this.
You
are
the most disgusting excuse for a human
points.
Being I've ever heard.
Okay, hold
sounds
on a
like
second.
A true abortionist, like you would say that.
A couple things I want to throw in here right quick. One. I think I might have covered this with you before, Rich. I think we talked about this earlier or yesterday or whatever. There's three quick points I want to throw out there right quick because I do want to dive into some of the other things. One, there is a difference between, and this is why I told you, it wasn't my strongest issue, but I understood why many women and liberals were upset about this from 2022 with the Roe versus Wade being overturned. Listen, there's a difference between saying that I am supportive and respectful to a woman making her own decision about what she can do with her body because I don't share the same organs on certain things, as opposed to saying I'm pro-abortion or I like abortion or abortion is fun. The problem that I have with a lot of the rhetoric and the narrative that comes from the right-wing side of the media, the Newsmaxes and the Fox Newses and the Breitbarts and the OANs and people like that, is they're making it sound like we're glorifying the idea of a woman just having the abortion when that's simply not true. That's one thing I wanted to cover. Now, the other thing I wanted to go back to a point you were making earlier, and this wasn't really like something that I intended to discuss, but since you brought it up, you mentioned the state of California. And I was saying that, you know, and I know that you probably don't like him, your governor, and that's fine if you don't. But so let me just give you, and I have a list of great accomplishments that he's done as well, and he had a great approval rating even before he did these things. So I can give you a good four or five things that he's done. You tell me what you think about that. And then we'll go into the next point that I was thinking of, which had to do with the things that from the American Rescue Plan.
I mean, you could so if you say. Wanted to, but I don't think they care about that.
No,
I think he's got more ambitions on being – oh, go ahead. Someone's talking. Sorry about that.
No. Okay, so here's the thing. So Gavin Newsom, he – not only did he give – so I can give you four or five. One, he gave $20 an hour to fast food and restaurant workers. Two – he provided proper protection equipment for kids in schools during the height of COVID. He also did a program that provided three free meals a day to the elderly during the height of COVID. I don't know if that's still going on, but during COVID it was.
No.
Either way, it was a move. Four, he lowered the Medicare age out there, at least from what I saw. I think he lowered it to 50, or he tried to lower it to 50. And then five, he gave $600 stimulus checks on top of the federal money that they already got. And then later on, he gave them $1,000 stimulus checks, which I think mostly went to, like, poverty or elderly. That was a good move there. Before he did those things, his approval rating was on average 56 to 58%. He did those things, and his approval skyrocketed to 64%. And so why is it that people keep telling me that the people are leaving the state of California when those things
have
been done, but give them that approval rating at the same time they're leaving? Or, like, what?
I'll tell you why. Because those things, they're not really I'll give you an example of one reason. My neighbor just had to pay his registration, okay? His same car in Texas
Everybody
to register
him.
It would be $75. You know how much he paid? $440. Now, do you know how much of the welfare state California has of the total USA? 1/3. So what's happening is it's very expensive in California because of, you know, the taxes are going to the welfare state. So this is why people are leaving. They're like, man, it's like so expensive to live here. I can go live somewhere else and have a better quality of life without the crime, mm-hmm. without the shoplifting right in front of you, without the tents. I mean, have you guys seen Skid Row? It's a shame, you know, that, but when the Chinese Xi Jinping or whatever, when he came there, Gavin Newsom cleaned it up and got the homeless off the streets real quick because he was embarrassed of it. And then during mm-hmm. COVID, you know how he was over there at the French Laundry, you know, sipping wine because he owns a winery himself. So there's a reason. I'm telling you, it's the economy stupid. I'm not calling you stupid. I'm using Bill Clinton's very good phrase. It's the economy stupid. People are leaving California in droves because of those problems, crime. And then mm-hmm. and now he's saying you can't have a gas car. He's passed this a governor's bill where you have to have an electric car by like 2030, I believe it was. But anyways, so mm-hmm. there's, you know, we could talk about that, but that's kind of not like the main thing I think you guys want to talk about. And I'm not really
okay, Rich, I have a question. You talk about the welfare state, but look who collects all of it, Mississippi. Alabama, Louisiana,
one third of it goes to California. 1/3 of all the welfare,
no.
You can look it up. 1/3 of all
not,
the welfare
no.
and all the government,
mm-hmm.
The assistance and the WIC card and the CalFresh
mm-hmm.
and all that, it goes to
no.
California. When Schwarzenegger was governor,
what is the population of California? What is your population?
Takes in more money and pays it to the federal
what is
government
your population
than
in California?
The federal government pays to California. Mm-hmm. California supports many, many, many states.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, California
yeah,
supports
many states. But that's why people are leaving. So you notice what you guys are doing, it seems like it reminds me of weakened Bernie's or what's that one where that guy's dead and they're trying to prop it up and they're propping him around pretending he's alive.
Oh,
California's toast. Everyone's leaving California. The majority of people, there's more people leaving. Hold on. There's more people leaving California than moving in. That hasn't happened since like I think it was the 70s.
That's their prerogative.
What?
What is the population of California?
More people are leaving California.
You don't like to answer the questions. That's what.
Than going in.
He will not answer the question.
I don't get what the population has to do with more people leaving California than moving in.
I asked a question. I answer yours. Answer what's the population in California?
Just Google it. You got Google and Bing.
All
it's
right,
it's
so
irrelevant to the conversation.
Asshole.
There's more people leaving California.
Okay.
I'm looking it up right now. The population of California is almost 40 million.
See how easy that was?
That
was
a tough one, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Why can you guys do it?
Hold on.
It's how much? How much? 1/3 of 40 million. Think about that for a second, Rich. 1/3.
No. They don't have 1/3. I'm saying California has 1/3 of all the welfare state of the United States. The entire United States.
No, not true at all. But hold up. I just want to bring this out right quick because, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, but there were people leaving
not
the state of California before those things took place with the policies that I listed. So I don't think that those things are the reason why.
Right. No, Eric, you made a hold on. You made a good listen. There's more. There's people leaving. But there was more people moving in. Now what's happening, it's like a teeter-totter. There's more people leaving that are moving in. So they're going to have a problem. They're either going to have to cut all the welfare and the benefits and all that, or they're going to have to raise taxes. I mean, California's toast. It's toast. Something's got to happen.
Like,
I don't know what they're going to do.
The economy of itself is larger than many countries. The economy of California is larger than, like, five other countries or whatever.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I'm just saying they're bleeding taxpayers. And if you saw the debate between DeSantis and Newsom, he talked about a lot of that also.
California was always an expensive state. I think that
I know that debate. He lost that debate. He got smashed in that debate. I watched it. Oh,
but
yeah,
Rich.
Right. DeSantis was
right.
kind of wrong. He lost that debate.
Okay, so, Rich, I want to ask you this question. Okay, so, you know, 2017 tax breaks, he gave the 1%, a big tax break and everything. Did you get a tax break that big?
Who are you talking about, Newsom?
No. Donald Trump, when he was president in 2017, gave a huge tax break to the 1% on corporations. Were you part of that tax break?
We did pretty good. I won't get into my personal life, but we got three properties. I liked it better under Trump than Biden, you know,
mm-hmm.
So I totally liked it. And here's the thing. I want you guys to imagine you have a business. Let's say you have a hotel business or a restaurant business. There's no way on God's green earth you're going to convince me you'd rather want Biden running that than Trump. I mean,
yes,
please.
You
can't sell me a bridge. There's no way you would have Biden running your business.
You would say,
I may not like Trump or his mean tweets, but I'm going to pick Trump.
But hold on a second, Rich, I want to tell you this. I want to be 100% honest with you. I'm not going to sit here and, even with all those achievements from Biden that I just listened to you, I'm not going to sit there and pretend like he's my favorite person or that he's perfect. We had 25 of them running in the primary from 2020, and he was not my first choice. As a matter of fact, he wasn't even my second or third choice. He was more like my ninth or tenth choice, if you want me to be honest with you. I mean, there were so many people before Biden I would have chosen. Like, you know, you had Corey, Kamala, Beto, Pete, Klobuchar, all those people, Elizabeth Warren, Kirsten. I would have rather had any of them at the time. And all the things that I've given you right here, he's done so many things that I didn't even expect. I mean, the massively reducing the drone war part, I didn't see that coming. The PACT Act, I didn't even think about that. As far as the other things, I didn't know if he was going to do the increase for the federal workers contractors. I thought he was going to do it by a little bit. I thought he was going to do $1,000 to $5,000 for student debt. He did up to $20,000. So, I mean, there's been things in that area where we have a certain amount of goals and the certain things that we want to get to. And with a lot of the goals that we're trying to achieve, Biden's administration's policies have gotten us a little bit closer to that. Then I would say even Obama's and Clinton's did. So, of course, it's going to top over Bush and Trump. So I'm not saying that everything that he's done has been all that good. I mean, we didn't get what we wanted on the railroad strike. We didn't get back into the Iran deal. We're still out there in Ukraine. We're still out there in Israel. So I'm not going to pretend that he's perfect, but if these two are the choices, then, yes, Biden is the one that I'll go with.
Well,
I mean,
I'm going to give all you guys a gift, okay? So I'll always be honest and tell you the truth about – so remember Bush Sr., okay, and he ran against Perot and Clinton. Okay, now the economy was horrible during that time. Remember he said, read my lips, no new taxes, and then he raised the taxes, right? And then you had Gingrich in there as Speaker of the House, and they sent this big old welfare package to Clinton where, you know, you couldn't be on welfare for like your whole life. You had to show like you're trying to get a job and all that. And they're like, no way is Clinton going to sign it. And Clinton signed it. Now, I'm willing to totally say that it was a better economy with Clinton. And I think that kind of had to do because we had control of the House. But still, Clinton was the president. It was a better economy, right? And the polls were like about the same with Bush and the economy. Like right now, I'm on NBC, you guys. This is not Fox News. It says the national poll, and this was January 26 to 30, so it's kind of the most recent one. I know it's February 5th, with a margin of error of plus 3.1%. It said excuse me, who do you feel is better qualified to deal with the economy? Now, you know where I'm going with this. 55% said Trump, 33% said Biden. And they, and but now, what I don't understand, here's my question for you guys. Why don't you just be honest?
Wait, hold on.
Why don't you just be honest and say, yeah, I agree that Trump would be better for the economy. That the people,
no, Lori
doesn't even agree that the guy is really
talking
about.
We would be lying.
It's reality.
I want to be
on NBC News. Trump has been broken five times. And he lies to get loans that he doesn't pay back. Go ahead, Eric.
Right quick, Rich, let me be honest with you right quick. I'm sorry to cut everybody off, but let me just get this point across right quick. I stated this earlier, and I'll state it again. Here's the thing. I'm not saying that that poll that you gave right there is 100% inaccurate or 100% accurate. You can have a poll, and we've seen this in every election, especially since 2016, where you can have two candidates that are asked, you know, do you think this person is more likable or trustworthy, or who do you think would better handle the economy? You can do those same candidates in, say, the month of February or March, and you might have one candidate leading those polls, and then you could have the opposite candidate leading in August.
Totally agree with you on that.
Wait, hold on. We saw that with Hillary and Trump. Then we saw it with Biden.
Right. I was just going to say that. Yeah.
Those poll numbers could change at any time. So I'm not saying that it's inaccurate. I'm just saying that for right now being, you don't know that those minds could change over the course of time. We don't know what could happen. I'm just saying that.
I totally agree with you. But what I'm saying is,
right now, I would trust Biden over Trump. But
I just don't think the list that I just don't think the list that you gave me about, you know, student loan debt and federal workers getting a pay raise, I just don't think it's going to trickle down into reality with the voters. It doesn't seem like it is.
Okay, well, hold on
Rich, can I ask you a question?
That was only
Are you against helping student loan debt, help paying student loan debt? Are you against that?
I would say it depends what helping is. So if helping is, look, we're going to give them more time to pay it off, that's okay.
Great.
But if it's like I paid all my student loans and I have friends that are doctors that they're still paying on them.
20 years to pay off their student loans, how much more time would you like to give them?
Well,
okay.
Don't you think you should, if you say you're going to pay your bills, you should, Lori?
Well, then why did they have in the early 2000s a law that was passed that let everybody claim bankruptcy except for students? And being a student and being educated is one of the greatest returns on investment you can have.
Exactly. So what is wrong
with that? I'm with whoever just said that. I agree with you on that. It's like it's kind of weird that they would say, oh, no, you can't file bankruptcy on that.
Well, they did.
I agree with you on that, but it's kind of like a separate issue than what Lori was asking me. But
I think that these college students could use some help. And I will say that I feel that the colleges themselves have the money to lower their tuition, but they are too greedy to do so. These college teams that play the sport that brings in millions and millions of dollars that they don't have to pay taxes on, but yet these students have to go to school and get in debt for just about half of their life. You don't think that they deserve help? I do.
Well,
I do think they deserve help.
I have a question for David and Eric because you guys probably know better than me. What was that state that just came out and said you're not required to have a degree? Did you guys read about that?
That's Florida.
David, did you hear that?
Can I just have the pen on the
yeah.
Degrees.
What do you guys think about that? There's a
To be what? You don't have to have a degree to what?
I probably should have pulled it up. I'm sorry, but I thought what
you're
a great idea because then it solves Lori's.
Are you talking about?
Let me see.
Well, wait a minute, Rich. Now, when you say that that's a great idea, that people do not need a degree to do what? To be a doctor, to be a dentist, to be a lawyer, to be a teacher, to be a psychiatrist?
Okay. Well, you don't need a degree to be a lawyer. You don't need a degree to be a lawyer, for example.
Of course.
No, you don't. No, I'm going to tell you something. So you can. There's a way you can do it.
He does like the uneducated.
In California, there's different laws. you can go ahead and be, you're like an apprentice under an attorney for so long, and then you take the bar. So don't, before you start saying someone's uneducated, at least let me finish so you don't make a fool out of yourself.
Before
because
you finish,
so you don't sorry. Have to.
Hold on.
So let me read it. Let me
finish.
Read this.
Wait, hold on, right quick.
He's a lawyer. He went to college.
Right quick, before you finish on that, I do want to say this. There's a little bit of a difference, and I don't know if it varies. I don't know if it varies on state to state, but I think there's a difference between, you know, you can be having an apprentice or have the position underneath the attorney, as opposed to being
right.
the actual attorney. If you are going to be like the Novak from Law and Order or whatever, or Abbott or whatever, I think that's different. If you want to go to that level and be an actual prosecuting attorney or an actual defense attorney, like a Lionel Granger or the Roger Kressler or whoever like that, then I'm pretty sure you got to go to school a little bit for that. Now, unless California,
well, you could. Yeah, California has a different – you could actually you have to be under the attorney for X amount of years, and then you do, of course, have to take the bar and pass it and all that. But what I'm – anyways, what I'm saying, I didn't want to go down that rabbit trail because what I was talking about is there are some states and like the one gal was saying where in Florida and other states – and I was just reading, it was on Fox News, that there's another state that came out and it was like – 90% of the different jobs and careers, you're not going to be required to have a college degree. I'm
that's
not really.
Crazy. Go to work when you're 12.
Say again.
That's great.
I said now they've gotten rid of all the child labor laws, and you can go ahead and work in the slaughterhouse
exactly.
when you're 12 years old. No that's, problem.
That's
you don't need school because they want
going.
Uneducated idiots out there as.
Where they're going with
well, didn't Bill Gates drop out of college? And he's like one of the richest men. In the, not that I like Bill Gates, but
he's an exception, isn't he?
Okay,
do you,
well, hold on.
Do you
I
realize
that
they are changing child labor laws? Do you realize that they are changing child labor laws a little bit at a time? And you can be 13 years old and work in these factories at night
well,
after going to school out. With slaughterhouses and under
now, Lori,
dangerous conditions?
Is this Lori the one that's all for
one
changing
second,
a child's gender and chopping off the little
finish.
Boy's wee-wee? Really?
You never let me finish.
I think you're kind of sick.
I,
well,
what
that's what you guys are for. I'm not for it.
They just hang up on it. They just hang up on her. I'm sick of him.
Why would you hang up on
him?
Oh, I hit a nerve. See, she don't like the truth.
Hang
you guys shouldn't
him,
hang
David,
up. It looks bad for
you. I've had it.
See?
Hey, you know this. Do you know
hey,
that this
Lori, that's called conviction of the Holy Spirit.
And you come on here and act like it's your goddamn show, and you get to be in charge, and I'm going to talk about this, and then I'll talk about this.
That's
and
called conviction of the Holy
if
Spirit.
If I feel like it, I'll answer your
yeah.
question, and then
you
when
feel
we're
convicted,
on to this,
don't
you're
Lori?
Goddamn
that's what it is.
You're an asshole who calls in and annoys the shit out of people.
I got under your skin because I'm smarter than
information.
I'm a
okay,
by
okay,
the way,
okay,
I had seven transgenders in my practice, and I learned a lot about them, and one did have his weeby cut off because that's what he wanted. He was an adult, and he was much happier, by the way.
Okay, Rich, thank you so much for calling
you
in, Rich.
You are being so disrespectful.
Well, there's one
as a
point
Christian,
that I want to say.
You're full of shit.
Okay, okay, Rich is gone.
You're an evil devil.
Rich. Yeah, Rich is gone and everything.
He wants to quote on the lib type thing.
Right.
No, it isn't that. It isn't that, you guys. It's that he is disrespectful.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I say something, every time I say and he knows that I'm right about what I'm saying, he hates it. Because he hates women on top of everything else. So he can just never call in here again. I'm done with him. I'm done. I
okay,
tried
listen,
to be nice.
Listen, before we dive into the rest, let me just say this, because I wanted to make sure that this was covered on this while I'm covered on my show here, too, that anybody else who's listening to this that is curious about these other achievements, these, and again, you can believe it or you cannot believe it or you can look it up for yourself if you don't believe me. So I've already covered the thing about the student debt reduction. I've already covered the putting us back in the World Health Organization Paris Climate. The United States cut the contracts that were with private firms. We cut $1,400 stimulus checks. Biden passed mild bipartisan gun reform. He closed the boyfriend loophole. Let's see. He contemplated shutting down Guantanamo Bay, even though he could have just straight up done that, so we're still working on that.
the Inflation Reduction Act, the lowering the gas prices. You know, 2 years ago, gas was like $5, $6 a gallon. Now, most gas stations I've passed are now $2.60 and $2.90 on average. What's that, Lori?
Eric, the thing is that what you have to understand is that these people do not care. When I was talking about the Rio Grande and having that the barbed wire in there with the razors in there, did you hear his response? He doesn't care.
He had a lot of glee.
He does not care about human beings. He does not care about human beings. Truly does not care. And he calls himself a Christian, but
they do. Yep.
It's sickening.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you confront him with facts, and because I am a woman and I'm not stupid, he gets all offended. And he cut off a wee-wee? What the hell is that? What is that? What kind of a talk is that? I never want him on the show again. Never. Disrespect.
He represents where he's from. He represents the Republicans. That's where they are.
Okay, well, listen, people, I just want to say this. This may not have gone exactly as the way I intended. I intended for this to go a lot better. That's why him and I talked, and that's why I told him I knew it wouldn't.
I'm sorry.
Well, you know what? But here's the thing about it. I tried to make it go a little bit better, but I guess I was not successful in that. I don't know.
It's okay. You know, it's okay, Eric, because the thing is that he would not have agreed with not one single thing. He would have found something wrong with every single thing because he is so brainwashed. And do you know how disrespectful it is to wrap yourself in a flag? Your flag is supposed to be hanging on a flagpole.
Well, I wonder what I would explain claiming things that happened, like that the other person won the election with absolutely no evidence. So what kind of person, what kind of thing do you belong to that doesn't require evidence? Sort of like when he's talking about you don't need to have these education or degrees. It's just minimizing things.
My brother-in-law is a lawyer. He went to law school for many years. Yeah, my brother-in-law. And you know, he took years to go to school, get the education required and everything. My sister, who's a doctor, she's a surgeon. You know, you can't apprentice those things. You know, because that's just ridiculous. But, you know, another upcoming problem I have to look at is that the Republican convention will nominate Trump probably July 18th for this year. And he will have top secret national security briefings as a GOP nominee. So that's a big problem because based on past events, you know, he never paid attention. He didn't read daily presidential briefings. And the secrets that he'll get as a Republican nominee, you know, he is going to give the details and pass it on to Putin and Xi and that idiot from North Korea who, you know, testing nuclear weapons now and everything. You know, so Trump, you know, we're in a crisis here with Donald Trump. We cannot make him be president of the United States again. And another thing that Rich brought up, which I disagree with, he said the government is too bloated. Yeah. But what Donald Trump wants to do is fire the civil service, people who spent years in there, and our professionals and what the do, you know, say they're Democrat or Republican. Trump wants to get rid of all those people and put in yes men and people who are loyal to him. And that is not what the civil service is about. You know, that's dangerous. He wants to politicize the Justice Department and go after his enemies. That's not what the United States is about. That's just crazy.
Is, David,
that's crazy talk.
You know what? Here's one thing that everybody – here's what I stick by. I know everybody already disagrees with me on this. Here's what I stick by. For as much as I'm doing my best trying to prevent another Trump presidency, and for as hard as I'm trying to do to help reach Biden-Harris, I will say this. If the other guy gets reelected, if he gets back in there and he goes forth with even half of the things that he says he wants to do, or even – I would say even – a third of what he said he wants to do, a third or fourth, if he's going to go about giving the death penalty to drug dealers and shoplifters, if he's going to go about with a percentage of the things on 2025, the Project 2025, if he's actually going to call for General Milley to be executed. If he goes about those things and then the people who vote for him decide to then be ticked off at him that he did those things, the only thing I can do is sit back and look at those people and say, you voted for him, not me. This is what we were talking about, and we told you, stop voting for this guy. So I don't know if that's me being extreme in terms of this is how you do a tough love. Or like, I don't know. Now, am I being extreme in that view, or am I not? I don't know. I mean, I just sit there and have to look at people. People have to make their own decisions. And at the end of the day, if they can look at the list of the things that I've given them for Biden, and they think that's not good enough, and they think that the Trump presidency would be better, even though none of them are telling you anything that he did that was better, you just have to let them live with themselves. I mean, that's just how I look at it.
And veterans and soldiers are suckers and losers.
Yeah. You know, but the thing with what gets me with these people, and we've had others, you know, we've had experience with others that have called in, and we have given them a chance. But the problem is they are so deeply brainwashed. And Rick is also sadistic. I'm sorry. Because he
arrogant.
Does not care about human beings. Because they're not white. Or they're coming from a different country. He is sadistic.
Kind of un-Christ-like, wouldn't you say? Kind of un-Christ-like?
Oh, yeah. And whenever I push him on something, he gets really angry with me. Too bad. But I won't back down from that idiot. I hope he never calls here again.
Okay,
never.
Okay, look. Here's the thing. I just want to say this, because I know we have about a half hour left. So listen, I just understand that. Here's the message that I want to put out here to a lot of the non-Democratic voters who are listening to this show. And I let everybody know, whether you like it or not, feel whatever way you want to feel about it, this is what you're to expect from this show. We are a very pro-Democrat station, very anti-Republican. You can think that it sounds bigoted or narrow-minded, but we're telling you who we are. In this particular election right here, we're here to promote Biden Harris. Just like we promoted Gretchen Whitmer, Gavin Newsom, Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker, all the top Democrats, Bernie Sanders, whoever. We're promoting these people. And feel free to come on here, and if you're curious about the Biden administration and their achievements, I will be here to provide the information to tell you what they've done to the best of my knowledge, and you want any legitimate answers on why we're not supporting Trump, I can give you things besides just the indictments and the charges. So hopefully people hear that message, and I'm just trying to do my best to kind of level the playing field here. So that's I try
you
my
know,
best.
Eric, and Eric, I agree with you 110%. That is all we're here to do, is to promote democracy, because people don't understand. Our democracy is under attack. Our democracy can be gone by 2025. And who wants to live in a world like that? Does anyone
And aren't we the longest democracy so far?
Pardon?
Aren't we the longest democracy? I don't think they've gone over 300 years. Maybe we're getting to that point. Who knows?
Yes, absolutely. You know, absolutely. And these people that are so greedy and hateful and hide behind Christianity are going to have a rude awakening themselves, because I don't know what they think they're going to get when this monster who doesn't care about life himself or any other human being on the planet becomes president. I want to know what they're going to do and think then. Because you know what? It's ridiculous that we even have to have this conversation. The only conversation I want to have is trying to get President Biden and Kamala Harris back in for 4 more years. Whatever happens after that, happens. But we have to
But you know something? You know something, what I'm concerned about really is not only immigrants who come here to make a better life for themselves, but the LGBTQ community, who has been a marginalized community, who, you know, Christians, the evangelical right-wing nut jobs in the Republican Party, if they could kill them, they would. And that's not right, because you didn't give life.
Yes,
sometimes
David,
they do.
You're right.
That's the thing. Sometimes these right-wing religious nuts and white nationalists kill gay people. You get what I'm
yes,
saying?
They
so they deserve to live. They have every right to live. And who are you or anybody to say, oh, you know, that's not godly. You know, you're sleeping with another man and you're a man, or you're a woman sleeping with a woman, you know? That's blasphemous. That's against, you know, God's, you know. It's, you know, it's their religion.
Let
don't
God
force religion
judge.
On people. You know?
Yes.
You
Let
know?
God be the judge and keep your mouth shut. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Because gay people get shit daily. Yeah.
You know, it's mm-hmm. it is so hard to, I mean, these past 2 years have been so stressful for so many people. And, you know, some days I think, why do I even do this? Why? Why do I do this?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I do it is because I have
family
that I
doing
want
it
to live in a democracy. I don't care. You know, that's what I want.
Well, when he said those babies could drown with the mother, that kind of caps it off.
Yeah, that's Christian, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I said to him, is it okay to have barbed wire with those razors on there and it maims people? He doesn't care. He could care less.
Right.
But if you're raped, God forbid, if you're
mm-hmm.
raped, then you have to have
mm-hmm.
that baby. Or else you're a baby
yeah.
killer. Rich,
mm-hmm. Yeah, Rich found it funny when somebody was making the point that, you know, a woman and two of her babies died because of the barbed wires and everything. And, you know, he was expressing glee. And that's not something to celebrate about. Because, listen, why are the people fleeing their countries from Central America and Latin America and even the Caribbean? It's because during the Cold War, what happened is that nations were taking sides. Do you want to follow the Soviet Union or do you want to follow America? And because those countries were, you know, in close proximity to America, they didn't want communist influence going to these countries. And so it's like there are Cold War casualties, basically, you know. And, like, for example, a good example, Chile, Allende was in there.
Yeah.
He was a democratic socialist, not a communist. And because he wasn't doing America's bidding, he wasn't America's blue-eyed boy. And he had good relations with Castro in Cuba, Michael Manley in Jamaica, who was a democratic socialist, Julius Nyerere, Jomo Kenyatta, you know, whatever. You know, and America felt threatened by that. So, oh, Allende, you're a democratic socialist. And when Americans hear democratic socialism, they say, oh, my God, communists, right at our doorsteps. You know, so they killed Allende and put in Pinochet, who was a much worse murderer, you know, than anybody could think of. You know, you could put him up there with Hitler. And they knew what Pinochet was doing. But yet still, because he was a right-wing, reactionary conservative, they said, okay, you may be a son of a bitch, but you're my son of a bitch. As long as you do my bidding, this is what may happen, you know? And so for years, Pinochet executed people who didn't believe in what he was doing, who were opposed to his policies and what have you. And, you know, and you know, they're running from that. And even though Pinochet has been gone for years now, the remnants of Pinochet's regime in Chile still hang over the people's head because of the disparity between rich and poor in that country. You get what I'm saying? So the people are running from that to come to America to have a better life. This is the land of opportunity, the land of the free, home of the brave. You know, and just because they're not white, you know, people like Rich and Pianke and Sarge, the conservatives who support Trump, you know, say, oh, no, stay in your country, you know? I bet if we're Swedish and European people, they're like, oh, yeah, come on in, you know? But because they're not white, then they should go back to where they come from, especially with Haitians.
Not only that, David, he thinks that they can come here and vote for Democrats. That's what he thinks.
And that's a propaganda piece by Fox News on the right wing.
Did you hear him say that?
And they come here to get welfare. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not getting welfare. I'm not a citizen yet. Green card holder, yes, but a couple of years from citizenship. And I'm not getting welfare. Come on, man.
No.
I'm just here trying to live a good, decent life and build something for myself and work for a living. I've never been in trouble with the law. I'm learning Italian as a second language. You know, it's closer to Spanish. You know, I'm trying to better myself daily. So because I'm a black man from a developing third world country like Jamaica, and I'm black, I should stay where I am after America coming here and fucked it up.
And
what's the better than this? We're
right,
better than this.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And like I said, Rich is not only is he a hateful, spiteful man that does not care about human beings.
Pretend
he also is a racist. He is racist on top of everything else.
Because it isn't these people that come from below the borders that are the most dangerous. It's within our own country.
Yeah, and he's a woman here as well. And so is Piaget, and so is Sarge, because I don't back down to these people. I won't. I don't care. I'm sorry. Too bad for them.
They're
all women here. They really are.
It's like when Trump makes fun of Nancy Pelosi's husband getting hit in the head with a hammer, that he had a little glee in that. Trump did.
Yeah, exactly. They thought that was funny.
Well, tomorrow...
Right quick. I want to say this. Here's what I plan on doing for this show, and I don't know when I'll start doing it. I know it takes a while to reach out to famous figures and whatnot. Hopefully we can do this at least by this summer. But I'm going to reach out to Lee McGowan, who is known by her stage name, Politics Girl, YouTuber, who's very good at promoting Democrats and the Biden-Harris administration. He's strongly anti-Trump, strongly anti-Republican. I'm going to reach out to people like her, see if I can get her to call into this show, see if I can do a live thing with her, then continue how we go from here. Maybe she can help bring in more viewership, also more people who she can convince to kind of jump on our side. I'm doing everything in my capability here.
We all are, you know, Eric, we're all in this together, Eric. We're all in this together because as far as I'm concerned, we are in a civil war in our own homes. That's what we're at, where we are right now. We really are.
And I want to say this right quick. I know we only have about 14 or 15 minutes left, so I want to kind of give my plug in right quick before David continues with what he wants to. So I do want to say this to everybody who listened to this and to all the new viewers, and to those of you who are watching on Facebook and YouTube, you already know, the name is Eric Brantley. The number is 734-620-1164. Again, that's 734-620-1164. Email address, BrantleyEric@gmail.com. BrantleyEric, BrantleyEric@gmail.com. Instagram name is EricBrantley500. Twitter is @EricBrantley1. YouTube, just Eric Brantley on there, youtube.com/@BrantleyEric. You'll find all my information right there where I promote Democratic politics and talk a lot about TV shows, movies, games, celebrity stories. If you need any help promoting Democratic candidates in your state, in your local area, no matter what state, city, or county that you're in, please reach out to me. I'm free to help you at any time. I'm co-host and producer of Kitchen Politics 123.
Yes. Thank you so much for, you know, trying to reason with Rich and everything. And I hope we reach some people who are independent and thinking about voting for Joe Biden because, you know, Donald Trump has proven in his 4 years that he's incompetent, he's incapable, and all he's out for vengeance and all he's about is making money for himself. You know, China paid him $6 million. That's a breaking the law, the emolument clause. You know, you shouldn't take money from foreign governments. Why is he not in front of a panel in Congress testifying? You know, he should give that money back to the American people. And these people have the nerve to go after Taylor Swift saying, oh, you know, it's a cult she's building. Who's more cultish than Trump people? Jesus Christ, people, get it together, man. You know, these people are out of their fucking minds. I'm sick of these people. They know better. They should act better. Stop acting like cultists. You know, it's very unbecoming. It's very, you know, sadistic. It's very disgusting. Okay, we'll have 11 minutes now. 515-605-9802 is the number to call. Say first name, where you're calling from. And Naj, calling from Atlanta, Georgia. Hello, Naj. Welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Oh, nice.
Same. Hey, how y'all doing?
Hi, guys.
What's good? Good to hear from you.
Hey, Lori. Hey, David. Same.
Hey.
Yeah, we're here. Oh. How are you?
What happened? I'm good.
Oh, man. You missed the whole fireworks earlier, man. We're trying to reason with Rich and other conservatives, but it's like going through one ear and coming in the other one. There's no reasoning. You know, keep telling us we're wrong and, you know, trying to dictate where the show go and everything and not giving anybody else a chance to talk. It was just frustrating, you know?
Yeah, he's done.
Give
more credit
than he deserves. I know the feeling. I get what y'all said. I guess the thing I wanted to add was, I know you guys probably talked about this already, but you guys talk about the union for the Border Patrol?
No.
Oh, okay.
What about?
Well, so the union for the Border Patrol came out tonight and made a statement basically saying not only did they like the deal that was presented, they were disappointed that it appears the Republicans don't want to support that bill. They said, look, if you're saying you want to fix this, here are the tools to fix this. Why are you walking away from the table? And
Whoa.
This brings, So the Border Patrol, they actually asked Johnson about it. They asked Johnson about it on Fox, and he made, you know, he kind of alluded to, well, you know, they would benefit from you know, a payroll surge for them. So him and Laura Ingraham kind of made a joke about that union. So we'll see how the union takes that tomorrow. But interesting point about all of this is that the MAGA crew has spent so much time with these, you know, this talk about socialism and Marxists of the left and all these other things for the Democrats, when in actuality, as we all know, Biden is a center-right, you know, mostly centrist Democrat.
Right.
Always has been.
Right.
He's much closer to their views on the border than people think. So when Biden says, oh, okay, you guys want to stop you want to create more detention sites, you want to stop a lot of the people seeking asylum, you want to do more deportations, like Biden's going to agree to all of that stuff. So it's like this big, you know, this big ace in the hole that they thought they had. Biden is kind of going to beat them from the right on this issue. So this is going to, you know, this is going to get interesting.
He's calling their bluff.
Yeah, you make a good point on that. And before I close out my part, I just want to say this. I agree with most of what you're saying on that, but I'm going to have to exit this a couple minutes early because there's another matter that I got to take care of. But, hey, I'm glad to hear from you again. I'm glad to hear from everybody.
Thanks for calling, Eric.
David.
Thanks for calling, Eric.
And then I will get back to you also.
I'll talk to you soon, Eric.
Have a good one.
Bye.
San Bernardino, California. Welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Well, thank you for taking my call. I just want to know if you think America will have another great leader like the one that you guys have already, Justin Trudeau.
Like who?
Ask that question again.
What was the question?
Trudeau.
Do you think America will ever
have
a great leader like you guys have in your country, Justin Trudeau?
Canada.
You mean the one in Canada?
Are
you from Canada?
Yeah, you guys are Canadians,
Canada?
Right? Wasn't there a Canadian podcast?
No, we're not Canadians.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I thought you guys are Canadian.
No.
He
worked really hard on that joke. He worked really hard on that joke.
Is that good? Okay.
Oh, so you're playing that we're socialist then. Okay.
Is that what you're saying?
Too bad.
Well, I'm happy that the cosmic philosopher noticed that my number.
Yeah, so what if we're socialist? Is socialism a bad thing? Come off socialism, social security card. We'll have social security, you know, so that's a form of socialism.
And there's no pure
we'll have the
socialism
fire department.
Anywhere.
We'll have police department.
Yeah.
So we don't have
to
work anymore. Don't work anymore, and the government will pay for everything. That's okay.
Well, you really make
logic
within your thinking, sir.
But that's where it starts. That's how socialism is. You don't have to work no more.
No, it is
not.
No. People work and put into social security.
Yeah.
You know,
I took in social security and I'm 15 years past that.
Well, the funny thing about this is actually a socialist idea.
Yeah, we got you. The funny thing about this is you can read the statements throughout history from people. Like during the New Deal, this was the accusation that they were throwing out.
Yeah.
During Truman's time, when they started throwing it out then. During Nixon's time, when we talked about Medicare and Medicaid, they started throwing it out then. So this, you know, this smear has always been there amongst the right, because instead of arguing the actual topic, you can just play this game and make these comparisons that have no, there's just nothing realistic about it. Like, you think Joe Biden is a socialist? Joe Biden from Delaware?
No.
Supported by a lot of the credit card companies during the debt crisis, where Americans basically lost a lot of their bankruptcy protection and things like that? Like, you think that guy is a socialist? You know, so at a certain point, I don't even know if we should humor people like you, because the discussion leads to nowhere.
Now, when people use the word socialism, they ought to define it, because a lot of people, when I ask them what they mean, they don't know what to say.
Well, what is it?
It's just a bugaboo word.
Yeah.
Well, can you
it's
say
a buzzword.
What is the government take care of you policy?
The government
takes care of you? There's no state on the earth where the government takes care of people.
No.
Oh, come now.
I don't know where you live, but not in this country.
How about the millions of people coming across our border that are getting taken care of, and we're not?
Well, you just said they're coming across the border, so clearly there's failure going on there, so the government is not taking care of them. So your own premise, again.
Well, I don't think so. I think they're getting shelter, they're getting money, they're getting a free ride, but they're getting...
Who's getting a free ride? All the
illegals crossing the border right now, the fluctuation of them are getting
free
rides.
Oh, yeah, they don't have not a penny on them, but they're getting a free ride. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any sort of sympathy in your heart? Do you have any sort of care about people in general?
No, no.
That's another part of this Trump movement, the new Cambridge movement. This goes all the way back to the shock
of humanity.
From the 90s on the right.
Yes.
Their program is Angronomics.
Is your home opening up for
them? Angronomics.
Is your home opening up for them right now? If one's were to come to your house, would you invite him in?
Why do you think someone's home would be in comparison to a government, especially when it comes to asylum? Like, why do you think that's a logical argument? This is what I mean. Somebody talked about
this a couple weeks ago.
They called it Angronomics, and they were talking about the Trump coalition, the Brexit coalition over in Europe, where they get these people fed up on anger all day. They get listen to talk radio. They listen to podcasts, and everything is who they're supposed to be mad at that particular time, but there's never any release valve for this anger. It's just simply directed elsewhere. But there's never any solution to anything, always about who they need to point the finger at and be angry about.
Correct.
So, yeah, it's really not politics at this point. You guys are kind of a glee club.
You need some empathy. You need to go back and think about empathy and caring about people.
Or
and
develop some humanity.
Yes, humanity.
But they were living in humanity.
We're all human.
Where they came from. Where they came from is humanity.
No, where they come from is not humanity. Why do you think they're coming here? Because where they
because
are, they have
they're
nothing.
Told you. Because they're told to.
What?
They're told to.
What?
Our government has opened the door for them.
I didn't understand what he said either.
I said that our government has opened the door for them to come and give them nothing.
So the Border Patrol is doing jumping jacks all day? They're not deporting more people than we have in the past 7 years? We don't have more detention centers down there than we have in the past 10 years? Texas had a budget of $150 million in 1999 for Border Control. Now, Texas budget for the border is $3.5 billion. So let me know where these open borders are. Where are they, sir? What are you talking about?
And all those children that got separated from their parents.
Yeah, and put in cages.
That's the parents' fault.
That's the parents' fault? That they got put in cages? And until this day, they don't know where their parents are? That's the parents' fault? No, it's our government's fault for doing that. It's Trump's fault for doing that.
I don't think this gentleman thought this call would go this way. I think he thought he would make a couple of jokes, call people libtards and socialists, and, you know, have a nice time. It appears he showed up to this fight unarmed.
All right, that has to be the last word. We'll be back Thursday. We'll thank everybody for calling. San Bernardino, California, thank you for calling. We thank everybody for listening. Remember to check us our website out, www.kitchenpolitics123.com. We're going to fight for gay rights. We're going to fight for gay marriage, equal opportunity for women. We're going to fight for transgender people, immigrants. We're going to fight for women's reproduction rights. We're going to fight Republicans because every time in history, they've been on the wrong side of history.
And
Donald
have a
Trump
final statement.
Is not the end of it. Yes, go ahead.
A statement to say at the end, it's a thing that's hanging on my wall, and it relates to tonight. I refuse to have a battle of wits with an unarmed person.
That's a good one. Very good. All right, we'll thank everybody for calling in. Thanks for everybody for calling. Naj in Georgia. Everybody, geez, I'm so flustered now. I need a drink. All right, so see you Thursday. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Laurie.
I love all you guys. Good night. This is Laurie Tika from Michigan, and we are the Democracy Defenders.
I've made the preservation of American democracy the central issue of my presence. I believe in free and fair elections and the right to vote fairly and have your vote counted. There's something dangerous happening in America. There's an extremist movement who does not share the basic beliefs in our democracy. All of us are being asked right now, what will we do to maintain our democracy? History's watching. The world is watching. Most important, our children and grandchildren will hold us responsible. The Vice President and I have supported voting rights since day one of this administration, and I ask every American to join me in this cause. America is still a place of possibilities where the power resides with we, the people. That's our soul. We are the United States of America. There is nothing beyond our capacity when we act together. I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
It was the worst pandemic in 100 years. The worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. But America fought back. Today, unemployment is at record lows. Our economy leading the world. Joe Biden passed historic laws to rebuild the country, but he knows it's the American people who are the heroes of this story.
America is back.
We've shown each other in the world that there's no quit in America. There's simply no quit in America.
In small towns and big cities, we're coming back stronger than ever. Manufacturing jobs are coming home. High-speed computer chips are getting made right here. America is leading the world in clean energy. There are some who say America is failing. Not Joe Biden. He believes our best days are ahead because he believes in the American people.
Those who bet against America are learning how wrong they are. It's never, ever been a good bet to bet against America. Never. I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.